It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. It is Matt Slick Live. I'm your host, Matt Slick. My real name, not just a radio name. And if you guys are interested in giving me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276, and we can blab. We do apologetics here. We defend the Christian faith. If that is something you want to do, you want to check it out, all you got to do is give us a call. All right. Now, boy, for the YouTubers, you know, something's up with Google. So with YouTube, as soon as the show starts, it doesn't work. And I begin to wonder. I don't know. I just begin to wonder if there's something up with Christian ministries and things like that. I've been hearing reports that others are having problems. Other Christians are having problems with various things. They just don't quite work as well. So who knows what's going on? But hey, you know, you never know. It could be just technical problems as well. But if it was just me, maybe. But I'm a pretty good tech guy. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Now, some of you have been asking that I do hate mail. And I haven't done hate mail for a while. It's a Friday. And I would often do hate mails on Fridays over the years. And so I stopped doing that a while back. And so get this thing going here. I'm going to hit. I'm starting a new YouTube thing. So if you want to find it, you got to go to I'll fix more updates links during the break, next break. But anyway, so if it works, we'll see if it works right now. We've been having a lot of problems. But nevertheless, hate mail. Okay. So what I thought I would do, because there aren't any callers offered at the beginning of the show, especially during the summer and especially on a Friday. So, I thought I would just read. And what I do is I just read and I comment and just go through them and just, you know, what is it? And I enjoy hate mail of people who don't like what I do, and I get a kick out of it. Now, I'm going to warn you that I kind of smile about some things. I laugh about some things. It is the way I am put together. I enjoy heresy. I don't know what it is, but I get a kick out of it. Now, it's probably because I know the truth, and it's just a defense mechanism. Who knows? But I'll tell you right now that I enjoy the lack of critical thought that is so prevalent among people today in a lot of areas, and unfortunately, a lot of people just adopt various forms of heresy and things like that. And it is very sad, but anyway, nevertheless, let me get into some of the hate mail, and hopefully those of you who have been asking for it will be satisfied at least for a while, hopefully. All right, so here we go. This is a guy named Brian, and from a certain website, I won't tell you what it is. It was very sad to see, but your statement of faith, which is heresy in itself, I love this stuff. I don't know what it is in opposition to the historic Orthodox Christian faith big time. I don't know who did this, but it is not biblical, and I'm going to warn others about you. Regards, Brian. So I don't know what this particular site teaches. When I do go into, it looks like it might be an Eastern Orthodox site. But I don't know what's going on, because it looks like, I'm glancing over at it, it looks like it's in Orthodox. Yeah, it looks like it's fine, and I agree with that stuff. I'm just going through it quickly. I don't know what. You know what? We get people who just don't, I don't know, they just don't like what I do. Anyway, so that's one. Let's get to another one. Let's see. You people just messed up with your own scriptures, manipulated numbers of times. This is from a Muslim. You could tell by his name. So don't try to research the final revelation, the Quran, and stop writing your own stories with Muslim scholars, coward people, contradicted religion. No solution to your problems in your books. Go and do some more interpolation, fabrications in the Bible. Or if you have time, watch the so-and-so debate videos on YouTube, or Indian Muslim scholar so-and-so. Go and debate with these scholars if you have guts. Well, you know, I have guts. It's how I'm able to digest my food. But what I'll also do, and I'm reading these sometimes, is that you shouldn't do this at home because it could be dangerous, is I read them as they are punctuated. And unless you're skilled at this, this could cause brain damage, because sometimes, I'll tell you, some of these sentences don't make any sense. So, oh boy, look at this. Pornography, adultery, surplus women's, alcohol, gambling. Go find solutions to your problems in your holy book, the Bible. Wow, there's a lot of solutions to those things in there, but this guy doesn't like the Bible, unfortunately. And let's get to, let's see, how about this one? Are you sure that what you're talking about, other religion, is true and correct? Wait a minute. If it's true, it would be correct. Not true and correct. How do you have something that's true but not correct? See, these things make me think. Is it true and correct? If I was debating this guy, I'd go, well, what's true and correct mean? Is it true and correct, or something correct but not true? Or anyway, you are just basing it on what you have read and heard. Yeah, read on the Bible and read on false groups and stuff, and I do my research. But at any rate, you, Matt Slick, is just like some guy here in the Philippines. If other religions have false doctrines, what makes you think you know it all? I never said I know it all. You feel, this is what's interesting, they tell me what I feel. I mean, where are these people coming from? Here, I'll tell you what you think and what you feel, Matt. And so I get a kick out of that. It says, you feel like you have the right to write about the other religions. Why don't you write here what's wrong with about CARM? You can't possibly do that. You can't possibly do that, don't you? Because you are afraid that you are far worse. If other doctrines of other religions are from the devil, well, in your case, you and CARM are from the devil, because it is not the work of God to criticize others and lie about them. Don't criticize anybody else. That's not what God does. So God criticizes all kinds of people. Jesus criticized all kinds of people in the Bible. Paul, Peter did the same thing. They criticize people and stuff. And I don't tell lies about people. I always document what they say from their writings. So there you go. I think I get a kick out of that. That's pretty interesting. Look at this one. This is a guy named Rob. You Christians are so dumb to believe God made earth. Do you even know what God is? Male, female, a she-male? You just don't know. And your answers are kind of ridiculous. Ridiculous. Reason being, you don't know the answers to my questions. Wow. Yeah, man's carbon filing is infallible? Gee, sometimes you read these and you go, these people don't have all their paws in a litter box. Yeah, man's carbon filing is infallible. So is every other male, female, including you. Wow. My point being is, if God is any type of matter, animal, person, mammal, anything, something had to make it, it don't just show up out of nowhere. Use your head. Or does the Bible influence you that you have no brains to believe about cells and living organisms? Now look, folks, I'm a professional. I can handle this. You know, it just rolls right off my back. But hey, look, if you want to give me a call, we have open lines, 877-207-2276. And give me a call, and love to hear from you. Now next week, just to let you know, I'm not going to be on the air live on Friday. I got to tell the producers and stuff like that. I won't be on live. I'll be traveling. I'll be flying to Texas. Got to have a meeting. Going to be attending then. And hopefully, we're going to get a lot of things worked out and moving the ministry forward. There's a lot of successes and some roadblocks with ministry work. A lot of people don't realize that ministry can be difficult. It's just the nature of the ministry. And particularly when you do apologetics, when you defend the Christian faith and you attack false religious systems and false secular systems compared to Scripture. So what often happens is people will get mad at you and get angry and stuff like that. And so, you know, we've had things like death threats, threats with lawsuits, this website's been attacked, I've been followed in cars. My wife has been followed in vehicles. We've had things happen at our house. You know, doorbells ringing at late at night. Go check. Nobody's there. People standing or in cars in where we're at, just looking at the house. You know, things like this. We've had things happen off and on over the years, and that's part and parcel to you know, confronting to the enemy of the gospel. And he does not like, you know, Satan does not like it when people like myself or others preach and teach the truth. A lot of people just don't like the truth. I don't know why they won't want the truth. I mean, wouldn't you want the truth? Don't you think the truth is what you should be going for? The truth. I would think so. I like the truth. I want truth. I'm not interested in... I'm not interested in what people desire emotionally if it's in contradiction to what the Word of God says. I mean, I don't want to be lied to. I want to tell the truth, and I want to I want to know the truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ. That's who the truth is. And I want to promote Jesus Christ in this ministry. And hopefully you do too. Hopefully that's what you want. All right, folks, why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. If you got any questions, you can type them in. Looking at some people putting some stuff on Facebook, type them in on the Facebook page and ask some questions. You can also do it in the YouTube. I got YouTube working, and I updated the link on the homepage if you want to check that out. And stuff like that. So, can we turn up the volume? I did. Hopefully it's up and pretty good. Everything should be okay. Everything should be working, but, you know, we'll just see. If you guys want some more hate mail, let me know. And if you got any questions, give me a call. So, one of the things I'll do is, I'll teach on Christian theology, and a lot of people like the idea of learning what Christianity teaches. One of the things that a lot of people have trouble understanding is the Trinity. And I thought for just a moment what I would do is talk about what the Trinity is and how it's arrived at in the Scriptures. Because it's really important that we Christians understand what the Trinity is. And I'm going to talk to you about what's called the economic Trinity and the ontological Trinity. But first of all, the Trinity is this, that there is one God who exists in all place, in all time, in all realms, in every dimension. There's no other being other than the one true living God. And that means Mormonism can't be true, because Mormonism teaches there's many, many gods. And what the Bible says about God is that he reveals himself as two simultaneous and distinct persons. That means that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all three persons, not three beings, and not three gods. The reason we use the term person is because it has a theological and philosophical significance. And so I need to explain that. When you say person, what you're understanding in that regard is, you know, like a neighbor, you know, a friend, a person. And when we say that God is three persons, we don't mean three people. We don't mean three entities. We do not mean three beings. So personhood is defined as basically the living quality of consciousness with the attributes of having a will, being able to make decisions, desires to love, to hate, to speak, and things like that. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit each exemplify all these attributes of personhood. Now, when we get back from the break, what I'll do is I'll continue on this doctrine of the Trinity. If you got a question, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. What do they call? 877-207-2276. And we have five open lines right now. That means no one's calling. Very unusual. And just give us a call. Now, about the Trinity. So, personhood, attributes of personhood. Each person has a will. Each person speaks. Each person loves. We see these things in Scripture where the Father is said to have a will, the Son is said to have a will, and the Holy Spirit is said to have a will. And the Father speaks, that's obvious, the Son obviously speaks, and not many people know, but the Holy Spirit actually speaks as well. Acts 8:29, 11:12, and 13:2. And the Father loves, the Son loves, and the Holy Spirit loves. Each of them, as a matter of fact, search the heart. It actually says so. Now, what we find is that that they exhibit these attributes of personhood. Now, we know that there's only one God, because Isaiah 43:10, 44:6, 44:8, 45:5 clearly tells us there's only one God in all places, all time. So, since the Father is called God, Philippians 1:2, Jesus is called God, Colossians 2:9, the Holy Spirit's called God, Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. What we see then is that because each is called God, and we see that they speak to each other, at least the Father and the Son speak to each other, and the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, then we see that they're separate, what we call persons. And this can be difficult to understand, but that's what the Scriptures reveal. Now, there's a doctrine called the ontological Trinity. What that means is that the ontological nature, the essence, the very nature, the essence of God, is that there's only one being who is God, and each of the three persons share the divine nature ontologically, by the nature and the essence of what they are. Ontologically, they're divine. The Father is divine, the Holy Spirit is divine, the Son is divine. They're all divine. Now, the economic Trinity is from the Greek oikonomia, and we get the word economy from that. It has to do with an interrelationship of things. And we know that the Father sent the Son, but it was not the Son who sent the Father. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit who sends the Father or the Son. We see that there is a hierarchical kind of a structure in the sending, but they're all in the same essence and nature. And it was only the Son who became man. It was only the Son who bore our sins. So we see a relationship, a differentiation among the members of the Godhead. We call this the economic Trinity. Now, people already believe in trinities. Time is past and present and future. The time, they all share the same essence, the ontological essence. They're all these aspects are the same thing, time, by nature. But the past is not the very same thing as the future, nor is it the same thing as the present. There's three aspects of the same thing. And matter is solid, liquid, and gas. And space is height, width, and depth. So there's three sets of threes. We live in a trinity of trinities. And Romans 1:18 through roughly 20 talks about the very nature of God being revealed in creation. So the doctrine of the Trinity is nothing more than an extension and revelation of the very nature of God that is revealed in the Word of God, the Scriptures. So praise God for that. And praise God for the information. I hope that helps on what the Trinity is. Why don't we jump on the phones? Let's get to Javel from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Javel. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, man?
Yeah. I had a question regarding, like, UFOs, aliens, and that type of stuff. And the reason it's kind of coming up is, like, on the news, I've been seeing, like, all this, like, Area 51 stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, it just got me thinking a little about, as a Christian, what do we make of, like, UFO sightings, that type of stuff? And then, like, also, my dad, like, told me that he's seen, like, a UFO in person before, and it was, like, unexplainable. Mm-hmm. So, like, as a Christian, I honestly don't know what to make of that. And it's honestly kind of, like, made some doubt creep in my mind. So
doubts
I
about
need
what?
Like, a little help with that, if you have anything.
Doubts about what?
I don't know why. Like, so I, all the time, I'm like, I always like have doubts creeping. It's like, oh, is Christianity true? And like, I've never like abandoned it because I feel like I'd be dumb to, just because there's like a whole backdrop of evidence supporting it still. And I don't know. I just seen stuff in my life that points to it. But like, when I see stuff like that, or like, okay, I don't know, my mind.
Let me help you out.
It's like just out.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to show you something here, and I'm going to teach you a little bit. I want you to understand a principle. Now, mathematics relates to reality. Now, just trust me. I know where I'm going with this. So we could do, trigonometry and measure the height and the distance of something. It's weird why math relates to actuality. And mathematics is why lotto places work, because not everybody wins everything all the time. And the math shows under certain odds, and so they can calculate what the odds are, and they win, because math works. When you look at the formation of life, and I won't get into the details, but the odds of the DNA molecules coming together the way it is with reading RNA, with other things, the mathematics shows that it's impossible. It is so vastly impossible. I could do a little 5-minute expose sometime and talk about it. But mathematically, it can't happen anywhere in the universe. Now, I know people have heard these theories that it can, but it cannot. All right? It just cannot. The odds are in the tens to the 20, 30, 40,000th power of things coming together in certain patterns. And it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so that means that there is no life out there anywhere in the universe unless God has created it. That's the only way it could happen. So what are these UFOs? What are these aliens? What you don't know is that these aliens and stuff, there's some interesting things about them. They teach theology. And this is not taught or not recognized very often. But I've read many articles on this. I've talked to people who know about it. And they teach theology. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. And the theology is the same.
Yeah.
Jesus is not God. And Jesus is not God, and we are all divine by nature, and reincarnation is true. That's a really interesting thing. Why would it be that they are teaching theology? They shouldn't be doing that if they're just aliens from other planets. The second thing that's really interesting is that when people across the board they cry out to Jesus during their abductions, the abductions end instantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Why is that? Only one Christian has ever been abducted, and it was on record that a certain woman was abducted, and she was a Christian, and she had to give permission to be taken. Now, we're going to get back here. I got more to tell you. But we'll get on to this.
All right.
You know, talk a little bit more. Okay, we've got a break coming up. So hold on. And folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Javal from Dallas. We lost him. All right, we have 5 open lines. Why don't you give me a call, folks? I'll continue with the UFO thing. So the funny thing is about them, this is what the evidence is. I've been studying this for a long time, and it should not cause anybody to doubt their Christian faith because these UFO things exist. What a lot of people don't understand or realize is that these UFOs, these alien things, whatever they are, they've been reported for centuries. Even Alexander the Great reported seeing flaming shields flying through the sky in formation. Flaming shields. Now, what is that? Well, there's some different interpretations. Maybe a comet that broke up. But the way the description was, it was very interesting. In fact, a lot of people don't know this either. This is kind of a fun trivia. For those of you who knew or know who Walter Martin was, Dr. Walter Martin, he's the one who started the Christian Research Institute in Southern California. Oh, actually, New York, and they went to California. They went back out to... Anyway, so you can go to khouse.org, you know, the letter K, house.org, Koinonia House. And you can just look up their packages and things like that on his UFO stuff. Really interesting things. But what I found was fascinating was that he and his assistant actually took a picture of an alien craft or a UFO craft, and it was on the cover of, like, Time magazine. He and this guy, they took a picture. Yeah, it was interesting. Hey, Javel, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I accidentally hung up last time. Sorry about
that's
that.
That's all right. It's okay. No big deal. All right, so it appears to be that what these alien things are. Some Christians think that what they are demonic manifestations because there's some things that are just their theology they teach, and people can stop their abductions by crying out to Jesus. I mean, that's weird stuff. Plus, life can't form by any place, anywhere in the universe. Now, that one is true. The Drake formula, where it says you can't, the odds are no. It's way undermined and refuted by the issue of permutability and odds and stuff like that. It just doesn't happen. So, anyway, okay. Now, you had some other questions, though. I thought, right? Okay.
Yeah, so, like, my dad, he's, like, he's not really in the faith. He's along the lines of, like, he says he's Christian, but I can just tell, like, his faith is not real. And, like, when he says stuff like, you know, I've seen a UFO, I actually believe in aliens, stuff mm-hmm. like that. First of all, I would ask, should I even, like, really worry about trying to, like, bring that argument down before just trying to get him to place, like, true faith in Jesus? And then also, if I am supposed to try to help him understand, like, the alien stuff.
Well, I would go to K-House.
How could I even?
Go to khouse.org mm-hmm. and start looking up some of the information that they have there. They've done a great deal of research on the topic. There are a lot of Christian mm-hmm. ufologists out there. Now, I don't say a lot, not like hundreds, but there are some that are very knowledgeable. But they fly under the radar mm-hmm. Because it's a touchy subject. There are some very unusual characteristics about them. I can talk about some other stuff, but they seem to be real, and there's actual physical manifestations of ships and things like that. And what are they? Well, there's some theories about how that is coming about, and it's been coming about for mm-hmm. decades. What is that? Oh, that's a car, I guess, in the background, huh? So.
Yeah.
Witnessing to your father, what you need to do, first of all, is pray. And you need to ask the Lord to give you wisdom and opportunities to be able to speak to him by the truth. And I'd go to K-House and khouse.org, and I would look for information about the UFOs and stuff. And then you will find what to present to him at the right time. And you can do that. I need to do a section on UFOs and other stuff. And I've listened to hundreds of hours of tapes from people who are abductees, people of different accounts. Over the decades, I've done that for a long, long time. I like sci-fi and aliens. In fact, I just finished a sci-fi novel. But so I've mm-hmm. always been interested in that kind of thing. But this is a research project I think is very interesting. And there's, like I said, there's theories on what they are, and I'll present those theories. But one thing I just absolutely deny: life cannot form by chance any place in the universe. If any life does exist, it's because God created it. The mathematics is just incredibly way against it. It's just not going to happen. Okay, so the question is, what are they? They're either from this world or they're from a spiritual world. Those are the only other options available. Just logic. So some people think there's a race of beings here on the earth. Some think that have technology. Some think that that's not the case. Some think they're demonic manifestations. Some think the government's been working with stuff and has developed some things, and it's just a big front to make it look mystical and stuff like that for disinformation so they can do their research. There's all kinds of things, that are theories that are out there. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Also, like, wait, is there anybody else, like, online?
We've got one person waiting. Let me give the number out again. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so, like, while we're on the topic of sorry, it's like really funny. While we're on the topic of witnessing, my mom grew up in a Catholic home, and I actually just tried sharing the gospel with her, but one thing that really kind of discouraged me a little is the amount of I feel like I didn't, the words that I used didn't hit her hard in a sense. I was sharing everything and she was just oh, okay, I don't really care almost. She didn't say that, but she was almost apathetic. So is there a certain tactic you use to just let people know this is super serious stuff? Or,
what I would do is start with prayer, and because it's a spiritual issue. And I would also, I'd go to my website, carm.org, and I would start reading up on Catholicism, and so you can learn. But one of the things I don't know if you can make a noise back there, but one of the things that you can do is focus on the work of Christ. And sometimes you can ask a Catholic, are you going to heaven right this second if you were to die? And a lot of them just say, well, I hope so. That means they don't have any assurance. If they don't have any assurance, you got to point them to the work of Christ on the cross and give them the gospel. Just do it. That your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ alone, not in your works, not in your church, not in Mary, not anything, but Jesus, God in flesh. Just say it. You got to say it many, many, many times over months and months for it to sink in. Okay? It's a slow process to get someone out of a brainwashing situation like that. Okay?
I got you.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Well, God bless. All right. That's Javel. Okay, that's Javel. Let's get to Bill from North Carolina. Hey, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt.
Buddy?
You said something. There was a caller that you had on yesterday that you were speaking with, and it really hit home to me, closer to home than I'd like to admit. And I wanted to see if you could elaborate just a little bit more on that, if that's possible.
Sure.
You were talking about some first responders that would go into drug houses.
Yeah.
And I believe the person you talked to said that he had counted 10 or 11 times people had set up and the voice would come out. They're supposed to be dead, but voices would come out saying, leave this one alone or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did I hear that right yesterday?
That's correct.
Is there a way to elaborate on that a little bit more as far as, unfortunately, I have that problem with some of my family members, and I'm very concerned about them, and I just trying to use that to help them.
Well, the gentleman who I talked to, he's actually a friend of mine, and we just spent hours on the phone today, and he might even be listening right now. If he is, I'm just going to ask him to call up, and he can get on the air, and he can elaborate. He's the one who told me the stories and stuff like that, and he could convey the information. If he's listening, he'll call up. But what he told me was that he and his paramedic partner would go into various drug houses where overdoses had occurred, and some people had died, some people had not died. And they got very familiar, is the right word, with recognizing very quickly and assessing very quickly who is alive and who's not alive in these situations. And they would work very quickly to save as many people as they could in drug houses. And he said on 11 cases, 11 different cases. And I'll just have to take a break right now. We'll just have to get back to you after these messages. Okay, so hold on, buddy. And we'll be right back, folks, after these messages. Give me a call, 877-207-2276.
Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're at the last segment of the show. All you got to do is give me a call, 877-207-2276. So, Bill, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so what would happen, he said, and he counted 11, I remember the number 11 times that he, you know, he reviewed it in his mind, I think it was 11, he said, you know, like that. So that the people who they had declared dead would, when they, and then they went to go work on somebody else who's OD'd, unconscious, the person who, not every time, but it would happen every now and then, would sit up. A dead person would sit up in a strange voice, just a, well, not a good voice, say, you can't have him or her. He's mine. And then fall back. It has happened, he said, about 11 times. So, and it happened with people who did injectables. They would shoot drugs into their system. And that's what a comment he made I thought was very interesting. Okay?
So, and it happened with people who did injectables.
Are you there? Are you there? Bill? Okay, well, if they hang up on you there, Bill, if they don't hear from you?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
but, I just wanted to learn a little bit about that conversation, and, and I appreciate it.
I tell you what I'll do is contacted the guy or sent a message to him. If he's online right now, he can call in. We can talk about it. Or maybe I'll just have him call in next week, and we can just go over it a little bit. It might be informative. So if people want to hear that, you know, just go to info@karma.org and say, yeah, yeah, we want to hear about that. Maybe I'll have him call up, and he can tell everybody. Okay? Sound good?
Okay. I appreciate your time. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Bill. God bless. All right, why don't we move along? Let's get to Dwayne Butler from Winston-Salem. Hey, Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Just got one quick comment.
Sure.
You make a good argument against the Catholic Church, but it seemed like I saw there's about 1.25 billion Catholics and 900,000 Protestants, and that means over half of people that are considered Christian are in the wrong ballpark. But
that's
my
correct.
Real question is, what do you think the Catholic Church's position is on whether Protestants and Eastern Orthodox can be saved? And if you have an opinion on maybe average Catholic layman's thoughts on that.
Well, the official Roman Catholic doctrine, I've tried to discern. They have gone back and forth. And sometimes the Catholic Church will assert that there's no salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church, which they generally say is true, and then what they'll do is they will say that there's different ways of what it means to be in and outside of the church, and that there can be those who are intending to serve God and are by proxy inside the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church, and if you believe in half of what you're supposed to, then you're in the church. This kind of an argument has been presented to me and from different people who are Roman Catholics and defend the false religion of Roman Catholicism, and it is false. So that's the position that I've heard, and there's what's called sedevacantists, and they are those who don't believe that there's a current legitimate pope on the throne. And in Vatican II in the 60s, that's when they went into apostasy, and so they're sedi, seat, vacantist, vacant, sedi vacantist, the seat of Rome, of Peter, is vacant. So they're called sedevacantists, and they hold to stuff that goes back to Trent in the 1500s. And the Trent documents are full of some very good things, doctrinally, but also some very bad things, doctrinally. And they bound themselves to such a degree in Trent that they cannot then repent of their heresy without admitting their apostasy and invalidity in a lot of areas. So the average Catholic just doesn't know very much. And that's not me complaining or whining or pointing a finger. Just like the average Christian just doesn't know very much. And so they just think as long as you're sincere and believe in God, you're okay. And that's not biblical. It's not true. But what I will say is this, that official, notice I emphasize the word official. Official Roman Catholic theology is apostate. You cannot be saved, you cannot be a true Christian and go to heaven if you believe official Roman Catholic theology. That's not to say that there aren't some true Christians who are in the Roman Catholic Church. It's just that official Catholic theology is false. And maybe one day I'll do a half-hour exposé for the beginning of the show and explain even more details why. But it teaches all kinds of false doctrines. And it does. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. All right. Let's get to Christopher from Raleigh, North Carolina. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one question. I just like to know who wrote the book of Genesis. Who did God tell how he created the earth and in the beginning when he celebrated the day from night? Who did he tell that to? There was nobody here.
Moses.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, that was the easiest answer I've given. It worked. One word answer. Told it to Moses, right. And that was it. All right. Okay. I guess that was good. All right. Let's get over to Pat from Maryland. We lost Pat. Pat wanted to talk about the 1689 Baptist Convention or Baptist something. I didn't get all of the words there. So if you guys want to talk about that, that's fine. Baptist 1680, what was that? At any rate, I don't know. Hey, we have 5 open lines, folks, and we've got about 8 minutes left in the show. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Now, about Roman Catholicism, since it was brought up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my website, because I have a lot of notes and stuff there. And I have a section called Cut and Paste. What I'm going to do is go to it and just read some stuff about Roman Catholicism. This is from their writings. This isn't me complaining. This is what they teach, right? That they teach this. This is in the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 460. For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods. That's what it says, paragraph 460. Now, the thing is, they don't teach officially that you could become a god, but they teach this there. And what's really interesting is, before and after the paragraph that's there, there's no explanation of what is meant. There's no explanation, not that we shall become divine like the Holy One, but that in the indwelling, blah, blah, blah. They don't say anything. No explanation. It's just there. Why? That, to me, is a huge concern. That's just one of the many areas that people are unaware of inside of Catholicism. Let's get to, I guess, Lisa. Are you there? Welcome to the show. Hi.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, no problem. What do you got?
I was listening to a show the other day. It was kind of a show like this one. And they were suggesting that there was scripture in the Bible that supported the medium, you know, when those that have passed on before us speak to us through a medium. And so I didn't know if that was even true and if you could speak to that.
In 1 Samuel 28, the witch of Endor was a medium. And Samuel went to go talk, or Saul went to go talk to Samuel and through the medium. And Samuel actually manifested. And, of course, this is called necromancy, contacting the dead. And it's condemned in Scripture. And in the account in 1 Samuel 28, you'll see that the witch of Endor was terrified when she realized what was happening, when it was really Samuel who was there and realized who Saul was and thought she'd be in trouble, but she was allowed to do it. That's the case. That's the instance that he's going to be speaking about, and it's condemned.
It's condemned, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when I'm watching TV at night or something, there'll be a show where there's a medium supposedly talking to loved ones that had passed on and sending messages to other people, and I just didn't know. I always wondered if that was
it's demonic.
It's demonic. And so I suppose too that those people that claim they can tell fortunes and all that is demonic too.
Yes.
Card readers, things like that. Okay.
Yep, tarot cards, the occult.
That's my question.
It's all bad news. Those are doors to the occult, and it's very dangerous to be involved with it. And there's a lot of false teachers and charlatans out there. There are accounts of mediums who will be in contact with something in the spirit realm, in the astral plane. The New Age movement does a lot of this stuff, and the New Age movement is coming back, unfortunately, in different forms. It's a form of Eastern mysticism with Western philosophy mixed in. And I'll be speaking on it next month, but nevertheless. And so they will contact these spirits, and these spirits are, you know, Aunt Martha, Uncle Bob, and they tell you where things were lost. They say, see, that's the proof that we're in contact with them. No, it's the proof that something in the spiritual realm is happening. But there are, in the Bible, what we call familiar spirits. They imitate those who are loved ones in order to deceive people further. Now, this is what's going on with mediums, tarot card reading, astral projection, calling up people to get your fortune read, palm reading. These things are doorways to the occult and demonic oppression. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
And when you, you know, I've got loved ones that have passed on, and I pray to, of course, our Heavenly Father, but I also, I guess, talk to them sort of like I pray to God, you know.
I wouldn't do that.
That's not
I would not do that. No. My mom...
You wouldn't pray? You wouldn't?
No, I don't talk to dead people. I don't talk to people. I don't pray to anybody other than my Lord and my Savior, my Lord God. The Bible doesn't ever talk about praying to those who passed on. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, make you feel bad or anything, but you should know it's just not a good practice. Catholics do it all the time, but it's not found in Scripture, and it could inadvertently open you up to a contact from an imitation spirit, a familiar spirit that could come through and say, "Hey, it's Aunt Martha talking back. You've been praying to it." So there you go. So what I do, I have a, you know, a son who passed away, and I say, I ask the Lord, "Lord, I don't know if you could give a message to him, tell him I miss him and I love him, and because I don't know, and I just give it to the Lord. If that's an, you know, I don't talk to that person." Okay.
Okay. All right. That, I guess I'm always searching and, you know, trying to find some comfort in, you know, I lost my mom not too long ago, and of course, I'm heartbroken.
Sorry.
So, you know, I just automatically just, I guess, talk to her when I'm drifting off to sleep or something, but
yeah, I know
now
what
I understand
mean.
That's probably not the best thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, let me say that sometimes you just kind of just grieve verbally. And maybe you could just, you know, include the Lord in, you know, the Lord is miss her and this and that. That's okay. All right?
Okay. I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless
right.
you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right, folks, we are done. Sorry, Melanie, and sorry, Rebecca. If you want, give me a call on Monday. May the Lord bless you all. Have a great weekend, folks. And we'll talk to you next week. God bless. Bye.